This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Let's check in with the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial, which is still going on. Does this not seem like it's been going on for a couple years now?
Yeah. Of all the scandals that went to court, like, this is like 2 months.
When is this going to wrap up? Okay, so Amber Heard is getting cross-examined the past few days by some of Johnny Depp's lawyers. Here she is talking about the now infamous poop on the bed situation. Johnny claims that after an argument, Amber Heard took a dump on his side of the bed. Johnny says it was a human-sized turd. Mm-hmm. Amber's trying to pass it off on the dog. We've all been there. It's not usually a solid. Yeah, it's usually a
gas. Vapor or gas, yeah.
But here is Amber's side of the story. She is sticking by her story that it was the small Shih Tzu dog who pooped on the bed.
What, if any, issues did Boo have with bathroom problems, if you will?
She had eaten Johnny's weed when she was a puppy and had bowel control issues for her entire life.
Did you commit any kind of prank?
Absolutely not. First of all, I don't think that's funny. I don't know what grown woman does. I was not also in a pranking mood. My life was falling apart. I was at a crossroads in my life that was really serious, and I had just been attacked on my 30th birthday by my violent husband, with whom I was desperately in love and knew I needed to leave. It was not really a jovial time, and I don't think that's funny, period. That's disgusting.
Wasn't in a pranking mood.
Well, maybe it was. Maybe were you in an angry mood? Because maybe it wasn't a prank. Maybe you did it out of anger.
Everything is Johnny Depp's fault. Even the dog's loose bowels is because Johnny Depp left his weed out and the dog got into it.
Yeah. Which is not cool, but that doesn't mean your teacup terrier is going to take a 4-pound deuce.
You know what I mean? Was it a Yorkie?
What is it?
It's a tiny dog.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay, here is more testimony from Amber Heard yesterday. And I'm sure James Franco is delighted that now he's being pulled into this mess.
You changed the locks to the penthouses on May 22nd, 2016.
I attempted to.
That's why you felt comfortable having James Franco over the evening of May 22nd, 2016, Ms. Heard?
I do not know when James came over.
Okay, let's remind you. That's you and Mr. Franco on May 22nd, 2016, right, Ms. Heard?
That's correct.
And you're taking him up to the penthouses, aren't you?
That's where I lived, yes.
And it's past 11 p.m. at night, isn't that right?
I'm not quite sure of the time. It looked like that.
Why don't we pull that video back up? 22:51, almost midnight, right? Almost 11 o'clock at night.
Exactly.
You knew Mr. Depp was out of town the week of May 21, 2016, didn't you?
I don't know what I knew of his schedule at the time.
I don't see what the big deal is. Jim, you'd probably be comfortable with your fiance having James Franco over at 11 o'clock at night when you're out of town.
Only if Seth Rogen was there, too.
Just don't let your dog eat Seth Rogen's weed. Otherwise, he's going to be taking dumps on your bed.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
It's amazing how things change with time. What have we been working together a decade now, Jim?
Yeah.
And I never thought I'd see the day where you came to me for parenting advice, but here we are. You've got a parenting question for me.
Yeah.
Does this mean we're going to have a little Kellys running around in the near future?
Let's start slow here. First off, where do babies come from?
Well, when a man and a woman love each other.
Do they have to be in love? I'm just joking. No. This is a parenting question. This story has gone viral. I want to know from you, as a parent with a child around this same age, if these parents are bad parents or good parents.
Okay,
so they're these, first off, influencer parents. They're kind of semi-famous on YouTube.
Makes me uncomfortable.
I know you're already gonna, you're already biased here when I say that, but these are influencer parents who had CPS, Child Protective Services, called on them because they had their 6-year-old son run a full marathon with them. So they did this whole 26.2 mile marathon. It took them 8 hours and 35 minutes to complete. And by the time they got home...
Takes longer when you have little legs, huh?
Yeah, I guess so, because like the average is like 4.5 hours. So this took them over 8 hours. The CPS showed up and said that someone called them and said that they were reported for pushing their kid. Like, the kid didn't want to do it. And they were like physically dragging him by the wrist along the path. They said that didn't happen. They said that he's a very dedicated child and that he was crying and struggling physically towards the end, but they asked him numerous times if he wanted to stop, and he was very clear that he wanted to continue.
Hmm. So are they good parents because they helped their child achieve his goal of running a marathon at age 6? Or are they bad parents because they probably did it to get attention and for their own financial gain?
I don't know. Who did they or did they not? I don't know. Maybe they're super fit. Do you think your son, he's 6, could he run a marathon?
If I dragged him. Well, hold on. That's not true. I don't think I could run a marathon. If I hired someone else to drag him, he might be able to do it. The kid, how does the kid know how long a marathon is?
But I mean,
get him to run around the block a couple times, you'd have the same sense of accomplishment.
But I feel like a kid like could run a marathon and it wouldn't be like a huge thing. Like when you're old, it's hard. But when you're a kid, you have all the energy in the world. A famous marathon runner did say, I don't know who needs to hear this, but a 6-year-old cannot fathom what a marathon will do to them physically. A 6-year-old does not understand what embracing misery is. A 6-year-old who is struggling physically does not realize they have the right to stop and should. Because you could stop at any time if it was your own choice.
Yeah.
But a doctor...
I've seen adults cry during a marathon, and I've seen adults struggle towards the end, but they know what a marathon is, and they chose to run it.
Another doctor weighed in. He said if they've been training and taking rest days and being monitored and there's no signs of heat exhaustion, I don't really see a lot of risk.
Hmm.
So, or should, I mean, that's one thing to judge the parents. Are they doing this for themselves or for the kid, whatever? But do you have to call Child Protective Services on them? And because you potentially want the child taken away. Like, that is the end goal, right? You think they're not fit to be parents if you call Child Protective Services on them.
Who's the rat?
I trust that person less, the rat, than I do these self-indulgent parents.
Was there a 7-year-old running the marathon? Maybe he got a little jealous that he was no longer the new kid on the block.
No longer the hot stud, the young kid.
I don't know if calling a 7-year-old a hot stud
In athletic terms, they're called studs, you know, whatever.
Still.
That's not, okay, whatever. But
that's the parenting advice I will give you, Jim.
Okay, call CPS on me, I guess. I don't know.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Yesterday, we got a text message from one of our listeners. It said, hey, a guy I work with left chip crumbs on the couch, and his wife called him the worst husband ever because of it. Where would you guys rate... on a scale between 1 to worst husband ever, leaving chip crumbs on the couch? Well, we got another text message here. This one is from a woman named Kaylee. It says, hey guys, I wanted to help out the guy who felt like the worst husband in the world for leaving the chips on the couch. I follow an awesome marriage therapist on TikTok, and I think this video probably describes the real reason his wife was mad.
Active responsibility would be you looking around the house for things that you could do. Passive responsibility would be being available to help, but waiting for somebody to tell you what needs to be done. This is one of the top things that I hear from women as a complaint, that their husbands are waiting for them to tell them what needs to be done. And they're really looking for a partner in life who is actively responsible for the house and for the children, and not waiting for their wife to tell them what to do.
Mm. So maybe it wasn't about the chip crumbs specifically.
Mm-hmm.
It was about your lack of active responsibility.
Too passive.
You're sitting around waiting for your wife to tell you what to do instead of just looking for stuff to do.
I haven't heard it described in that way, active and passive, but I have heard women say, I'm not your mom. You know what I mean? So it's like, I'm not following you around telling you to clean your room, pick up your socks.
Uh-huh.
Which I feel is the big complaint there.
Sometimes you know the socks need to be picked up, and you'll do it later.
Okay, this isn't personal at all.
Just relax, Uli. Yes, I know. I know the dishes need to be done. I'm sitting down right now. I had a long day.
Okay, so you know what? What is this then? Okay, because I feel like I'm not passive. I feel like I'm active around the house.
Right.
Like what would you call it when your wife or girlfriend goes, oh, the garbage is getting really full? Because she... Yes, I guess I'm being passive to being asked.
Is this a true story, Jim?
Maybe it happened to a friend of mine, a guy I work with.
Marriage is just one big contest to see how high you can pile the garbage can before someone has to take it. Sarah will say to you, boy, the garbage can's getting really full, instead of just taking the garbage out herself.
Yeah, or saying, can you take the garbage out? It's like you're acknowledging the third wall or the fourth wall.
I agree. It goes both ways.
This is another thing for ladies to bring up in divorce court, I think. You know, yes, he helped, but he was only passive.
Well, yeah, but I'm sure you were passive at times as well, right? Yeah, I don't think this is just a wives feel this way about husbands situation. This is the way people feel about other people. Sometimes you want people to do things and they're not doing it, so you call them passive. Like my wife will go away for a weekend.
Okay.
And I will clean the entire house, but sometimes on purpose, I leave one thing untouched, just as a little game that I like to play. And I just want to see if when she walks through the door, does she first mention all the cleaning that I did? Or does she mention the one thing that wasn't done? And I will tell you, 99% of the time, it's the one thing that I didn't do that is brought up first.
So you might as well clean nothing.
That's what I'm saying.
Now that's passive.
I am getting a couple bags of chips, and I'm eating them on the couch.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Taz and Jim, and we're joined by the equipment assistant for the Hamilton Tiger Cats, also the mascot assistant for the Hamilton Bulldogs. He follows Bruiser around. Keeps an eye on Bruiser during the Bulldogs games. You know him, you love him. The most positive man in the hammer, Dylan Atack, is on the show. Hey, Dylan.
Hey, Taz and Jim. How's it going this morning?
Good, buddy.
How are you?
I'm excellent. Thanks for having me on.
Dylan, you also, this seems to be your skill. You are amazing at tracking down celebrities and getting your picture taken with them.
Yes, that is correct. Yes.
And yesterday, you got a picture with who?
Mitch Mono, and I also got a lot of pictures with, like, Tavares and Nylander yesterday and Simmons.
How are the guys doing?
They were really happy. They were really nice yesterday, and they signed my poster. But, you know, one of the most nicest persons, I can't believe as you just asked me, Mitch Mono, you know, despite what happened to him on Monday night at the movie theater, you know.
He got carjacked.
Yeah, and you know, he even didn't speak to the media yesterday because, as you know, he was, you know, still shaken up by the incident, right?
Yeah.
But he was there. But he was there for the team meeting yesterday. And, I was staying at, my dad drove down with me and down to the practice facility, and I had my poster and said thank you Leafs, and Mitch drove out. He drove out in this Range Rover. I'm assuming it was probably a lone one or something.
He might have a couple, but that's why I wasn't sure when the picture was taken, because it was a black Range Rover that got carjacked, and he was in a different black Range Rover, right?
I couldn't believe it. Like he rolled down the window and I asked him, "Hey, how are you doing?" He goes, "You know," he said to me, "I've had better days, but."
Kidding.
I'm surprised he didn't roll down the window and then blash you with some pepper spray. A little on edge.
Yeah, you know, I was gonna say, you know, that's why I cannot believe that he stopped yesterday. So you know, he took the time to sign my poster, and I thanked him, you know, for stopping. So that made my day, and yeah, he was very nice.
Did you ask him what movie he was going to see? Because Jim and I have a little bet.
Him, no.
Do you think he was going to see Doctor Strange?
I was saying it was The Northman.
Maybe Doctor Strange, maybe.
That's
the most popular movie out.
I thought, Doctor Strange. Well, we're glad Mitch is okay, and it really speaks volumes of what kind of guy he is. Knowing that you're a huge Leaf fan, he stopped and signed your poster, even though he's had a rough couple days, to say the least. So that's pretty cool, Dylan. Well, he didn't talk to the media. He talked to you, and then you talked to the media.
Yes.
I love it. Well, we'll post. Is it okay if we post that picture on the Taz and Jim Facebook page?
Absolutely. Go ahead. Yes.
All right, Dylan. Well, thanks for the update. And any other celebrity encounters, you let us know about them, okay?
You know who I heard who's in Toronto? Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's filming a movie, so maybe that'll be my...
Get after him.
You get Arnold Schwarzenegger. I want to see that picture by the end of the week, Dylan, okay?
Okay, I'll come on the Taz and Jim show as well.
Yes, if you do that, we will give you a big present.
All right.
Okay? I don't know what it is, but
it'll be big.
I want to see you peacock, you peacock.
It's time for sports with our sports guy, Devin Peacock. Dev, hockey playoffs resumed last night. Round two, you had the Battle of Florida going on. Tampa Bay versus the Florida Panthers, and Tampa Bay came out on top.
And Florida was the top team in the East this year, one of the top teams in the NHL this year. But you have a feeling after the Toronto series, the Lightning are just primed to maybe go on a bit of a run here. Nothing against the Panthers, but the Lightning are a battle-hardened team. And the Panthers did have a big habit this season of going down and then having to come back. And you can do that in the regular season, but doing that in the playoffs is a whole other matter.
Let me ask you both. Jim, you are a Toronto Maple Leaf fan. It's the age-old question. Do you want to see Tampa Bay lose, or do you want to see them win because you would rather your team lose to the next best team, or do you want revenge and you want them out?
I have a friend who's a Tampa Bay Lightning fan, so I would like them to lose.
What a good friend you are.
I 100% want them to lose. I want them to get embarrassed. I want them to lose the next four games. I want them out. I don't want Tampa to win at all.
You don't think it would be cool to see three in a row?
No. No. All right. No. I want them to lose hard.
I think it'd be funny to see Pat Maroon win four cups in a row. That's funny. That's about it.
Funny as in I would, you know, want to punch myself in the face. I don't want him to win anything more.
Funny as in, like, that's funny trivia, because who would ever guess that?
That's true.
If my grandma's a Tampa Bay fan, I'd love them to lose. Let's go to the later game. We had Colorado, who is one of the favorites to win the Stanley Cup, pulling out a win, comeback victory over the St. Louis Blues.
This was a great game. I didn't see it. It was too late for me. But Jordan Binnington was great in net for the Blues. And the Colorado Avalanche were the Colorado Avalanche. I mean, they've been a Stanley Cup favorite since the very start of the season. And they've showed why in the playoffs. And they showed why again last night. If I was going to cheer for another team, and I'm not cheering for anyone, but there are a lot of guys on Colorado I'd like to see win it all.
So the Battle of Florida kicked off last night. We have the Battle of Alberta tonight. Who do you like, the Oilers or the Flames in this one?
Man, I think this is going to be a really good series. I mean, Connor McDavid is Connor McDavid, but I really like the Calgary Flames. They're favored to win this series for a reason. They're just a really good team from top to bottom.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
I'm going to have to warn my wife about this because we let our kids play with our cell phones all the time. It's modern parenting, right?
you
want them to sit down and be quiet. You give them a phone, put on YouTube Kids, and they're good for hours. Well, a two-year-old was playing with his mom's phone in Texas and somehow ordered 31 McDonald's cheeseburgers on DoorDash.
Boy. 31. So I didn't know what to do with him. He only ate half of one. So I posted on a community page and asked if anybody wanted some. One girl came by and picked up six.
As part of that $90 bill, Barrett actually included a $16 tip.
He's a good tipper.
The kid.
Kid's polite, at least.
The kid gave a $16 tip.
That's funny. What do you do with all those cheeseburgers? It would be kind of awesome for it'd be a if good you're excuse. Hungry.
Yeah. Oh, great. Now I got to eat these for a week or 2 days. You could probably smash 30 cheeseburgers if you had to. You know, I could probably eat three in one go.
Be careful, Jim.
What?
I was on vacation with some buddies one time. We went into a McDonald's, and one of my buddies was eating a sundae. He said, man, this is so good. I bet I could eat 10 of them. And we all went in our wallets, took out whatever money we had. We said, we bet you this much you can't.
Oh, and did he try?
He did it. But then instantly turned into an ice cream machine in the washroom. He got sick. Like, yeah. As soon, he's like, is that good enough? With the last sundae, we're like, yeah, man, you did it. He's like, okay, see you in a couple minutes.
Time for a reversal.
Yeah.
It's the soft serve machine in the washroom.
Huh. How many hamburgers do you think you could eat from McDonald's?
I said three, but that's easy. That's a cakewalk.
Well, I'll let you know. If my kids accidentally order 31 hamburgers on DoorDash or Skip the Dishes, you're going to be my first phone call now. Get Uncle on, Jim Grayson. From the radio over here.
I'm going to be in cahoots with him.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
I didn't know if he had a family with him.
There's a raccoon sitting on my patio furniture.
Oh, boy.
In this picture, does it not look like it's not my patio furniture? It's his patio furniture?
Yeah, he looks like he's been chilling on that furniture for a while. He's got his butt divot in the couch.
So I turn the light on. I look at this guy. He doesn't move. We just kind of have a little stare off. And I didn't want to get too close because I've heard stories about raccoons ripping people's faces off, right? Like they can be vicious, those things.
Sure, sure. They don't go down without a fight.
So I decide what I'm going to do is put on the Bluetooth speaker.
Okay.
See if I can scare this guy away.
With sound effects or music?
With music.
Okay, because I thought you were going to like a panther sound effect. Wow! And like, you know, try to speak to his instincts.
Okay, I'm trying to find this. So I scrolled through, like, I got my phone out. I scrolled through all my my music, and I was like, oh, this will be a good song. This will get him. So this is what I cranked up the volume. I look him dead in the eyes and then I hit play. Stands up on his legs, like, what the hell is going on?
Uh-huh.
And right when it kicks in, shot off. I have never seen a raccoon move this fast. Bolted. Flew over my neighbor's fence. It was insane. The thing, like, wasn't even touching the fence as it went up it. It was moving so fast and just went off into the night. Thank you, Led Zeppelin.
Wow, I've never heard them used for that reason before. A pest deterrent, but I thought the raccoon was going to get up, throw up the devil horns. Zeppelin rules,
nice
man.
Try. I love me some Led Zeppelin.
Hey, fill me up a little thimble of that wine, bro.
Should I be concerned about this? If you're into pest control, is there something I can do to stop this raccoon from making my patio furniture its home?
Yeah. Like, if it's already been there once, is it staked this out? Is it like land?
Yeah. I don't like it.
Huh. You're going to have to keep Led Zeppelin playing all day. It's like those mosquito repellent sounds.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Weezer, a new single, was released this week.
Exciting.
Right. The song is called A Little Bit of Love. Not sure if you heard it. Let's play a little sample of it here. You must like this with your Irish heritage.
Sure.
Nice and upbeat.
Sounds like spring.
Rebirth. Okay, so one of our listeners heard this new Weezer song And he instantly sent us a message. His name is Mark Durbridge. He's on the line with us. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. You think you've heard the new Weezer song before?
Yeah. Sitting there in the shower with my wife, and it's like, this is Glass Tiger.
Hold on. Did you just say you were having a shower with your wife?
Yes.
Wait, you listen, sitting in the shower with your wife?
Do you listen to our show while showering with your wife? That's kind of hot.
It's tradition.
Are you in the shower right now?
Oh. What are you wearing, Mark?
Nothing but suds.
So Glass Tiger, you made the connection between the new Weezer song and Glass Tiger. You sent us a couple links to Glass Tiger songs, and I have done a little mashup here. So the start of that song, you think sounds like the Glass Tiger tune, My Song. Let's listen to a little comparison here. That's Weezer. Glass Tiger. Okay. Similar.
One's a harmonica, one's a penny whistle. I don't know. I'm guessing.
Yeah, I hear the similarity there. But that's not where it stops in your eyes, right, Mark?
No.
Okay. The other comparison is the Glass Tiger song, My Town. Holding on to the rabbit's feet. Bring the wind to carry me over.
Walking down the sunny side of the street. Lead me home to my town. Are you going to play the Weezer song for comparisons? Tell me where that
I'm not hearing it, guys.
Glass Tiger song is. A little bit of love
goes a pretty long way. Oh my God.
That's pretty close.
Usually when we do mashups, you gotta speed one song up, slow the other one down, change the pitch or something. But I had a tough time hearing the edits, and I'm the one who edited that. It's an homage.
Sure.
You know, Weezer, they did the thing with Toto's Africa, and then they got into the covers, and Van Weezer, they got into a Van Halen phase, and maybe they're still stuck in the 80s, and they love the Glass Tiger now.
A little bit of love goes a pretty long way. Yeah, I mean,
I'm no lawyer, yeah. But somebody may have a case here. Let Alan Frew know. He may want to contact a law firm today.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
This was not our intention. Now we've got people messaging us and they're crapping on poor Glass Tiger.
Not on our watch.
So we did a little comparison earlier. There's a new Weezer song out. And one of our listeners, Mark Durbridge, said, that sounds a lot like a Glass Tiger song from the early 90s. Holding on to there's the Weezer. Feet. Bring the Glass Tiger. Carry me over. Walking down Weezer. The sunny side of the street. Glass Tiger. I don't know, man. To me, it sounds undeniable that there was some inspiration there, but some of our Taz and Jim listeners, they're not buying it.
Mm-hmm. Jason says, somehow I doubt Weezer's ever even heard of Glass Tiger. CanCon is effective, but it's not that effective. Which CanCon, if you're not familiar, is radio industry lingo for a certain amount of Canadian songs you have to play because you're a Canadian radio station. So
Canadian
there's a lot
content.
Of bands in Canada. Like The Hip, that a lot of people in America haven't been exposed to, that are big hits in Canada.
But Glass Tiger, they hit number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Like, this was this is a worldwide song. People know who Glass Tiger is.
This is a staple. This is an 80s staple. Loved you, boy.
so long.
This is the song I get confused with.
Don't you forget about me every time. Yeah.
There was a lot of reminders not to forget things back in the 1980s. A lot of cocaine brain going
sure,
on.
Sure, sure.
Don't forget me. Don't lose my number. Yeah, number two on the Hot 100 Billboard charts. You know what band's never had a number two song on the Hot 100?
Who?
Weezer.
Oh, so technically bigger than Weezer.
So for that person who says there's no way that there was a little inspiration from Glass Tiger on the new Weezer track, I think you should check yourself.
Oh, he just responded. Fair enough. I'm just happy that Glass Tiger can probably get a successful lawsuit going for some writing royalties. They're going to eat today. This guy hates Glass Tiger.
I'm pretty sure Alan Frew is having breakfast right now.
Probably.
You don't think royalties from this song alone, he is set for life.
Oh, he's having French toast, I bet.
Right poached now. Eggs.
Huh?
Back bacon.
Canadian bacon, maybe.
I'm getting hungry.
This is the Taz and Jim Podcast.